Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Nick, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity to come and to worship you. Lord, we are here to make much of Jesus today. You have provided that opportunity. We pray that as we go into this week, that you will give each one of us a chance to share Jesus with someone else. You created us for the purpose of worshiping you, and we are thankful to be here. Lord, I pray that this morning that it is well with every soul in here, but if there is someone who doesn't feel well about their soul, that before they leave this place today, that feeling will have been corrected, and that you will take over in the heart of each person here. Bless our pastor this morning, Lord. Bless Cal as he brings your message to us. Open our hearts that we might receive it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dick. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord with the Lord's people on the Lord's day, would you say amen?
Amen.
I am too. I just want to share the burden of my heart with you all. Since this horrible virus started, way back in March of last year, really hit the churches and hit the city and the community, we've just not seen hardly anybody saved and baptized in our church. That's not acceptable. It's not. Because if Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, so should Second Mile Church. And so I've been burdened about this for a long time. And on Wednesday nights, we're doing a Best News Evangelism training. And we've got about 23, 25 of y'all, something like that, coming to learn how to share your faith. Pastor's not supposed to lead everybody to Christ. The flock is to be doing the work of ministry. And everywhere we go, God lines people up every day, puts them in our path, and gives us a divine appointment. And so we ought to be seeing people saved each and every day, just like the New Testament church did. And so if you've missed out on that evangelism training, I think we've got it online. We're streaming the services on Wednesday nights, but you can catch up with us. And then I decided, probably we needed an emphasis on Sunday morning on evangelism for a few weeks. And so that's what we're doing here today. Our sermon series for the next 4 weeks is we're calling Lost and Found. I was once lost, but thank God Jesus found me. And that is our testimony. Amen? And so we're in Luke chapter 15 over the next 4 weeks. We're going to talk about a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son, and a lost brother. And I'm praying that God will use it to stir our hearts for what's on the heart of our great big God. Luke 15 has three beautiful parables in chapter, and they all illustrate God's love for lost people. And really, you could even say that Luke 15 is one big, large parable revealing what an awesome shepherd our God is. God is like a shepherd seeking a lost sheep. God is like a woman searching for her lost coin. God is like a father searching and looking for his lost son. And this passage of Scripture reveals what a wonderful God we have. Amen? What a wonderful, wonderful shepherd he is. He is in the business of rescuing, restoring, and receiving sinners. Dr. Jerry Vines calls this passage of Scripture God's lost and found department. Isn't that great? Well, four of y'all think that, so I never know how y'all are going to respond. Jesus spoke these parables in response to the Pharisees. They were criticizing Jesus. You know, he was inviting sinners to come. He was sitting down in their homes and he was eating with sinners. And guess who wasn't happy about that? The religious crowd. And they were griping and they were grumbling. They were complaining. They were fussing about Jesus hanging out with sinners. Well, can I just tell you? That's what Jesus came here to do. To reach lost people, of which we all were at one point in time. And so I remember when Brother John David Lida first came to town in Clarksville years ago at First Baptist Church where me and my family grew up, there were some bars downtown on Franklin Street, some others downtown. And did y'all know Dr. John David Lida used to go into those bars on Friday evenings and Saturday evenings about dusk or 6 or 7 o'clock and witness to those people? And guess who got upset? The religious crowd. You know, he was only doing what you should have been. I've often wondered, what if Diane and I started having that crowd down at the house quite often? What would people say? Well, that's exactly what Jesus was doing when he was here. He hung out with sinners. And in every one of these parables, you see the phrase lost and found. So I pray it'll be a great blessing for you as we move through Luke chapter 15 over the next few weeks. That's just kind of the introduction for what we're going to be doing. And in chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, we see the lostness of sinners. The lostness of a sinner. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man," talking about the Lord, "receives sinners and eats with them." Everybody say, "Oh my." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" And so, in the opening of this parable, we see the lostness of a sinner. This shepherd had 100 sheep in the sheepfold, and he starts counting the sheep, and one of them had gone astray. He couldn't find one of them. And you see, what this parable is trying to teach us is simply this, that we are all like lost sheep. And Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25 all reveal that great truth to us today. We're all like lost sheep. What do y'all know about sheep? What do we know about sheep? Man, sheep are dumb. They are ignorant, aren't they? They just dumb and sack rocks. And they're not known for their intellect, are they? You know, when you start thinking about animals, you can train dogs. You can train elephants, seals, lions and tigers. But you know what? You can't train a sheep because they're ignorant. They just not real sharp. And you know, when you start thinking about people, I know some very, very intelligent people who are full of knowledge. But just as soon as you start bringing up spiritual matters, whew, ignorant of spiritual things. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? I've seen it on television, you know, even during political campaigns and that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden somebody from down south will say, "Well, I'm born again," and all of a sudden the news reporters scatter and wonder, what does that mean? You know, sheep are, some ways, are ignorant. They're not real sharp. It's amazing to me how somebody can be so smart in the things of this world and yet so ignorant in the things of the spiritual world. But sheep are not only ignorant, sheep also wander. they lose their sense of direction. They'll nibble over here, and then they'll nibble over here, and then they'll go over this part of the hill and nibble, and next thing you know, they're away from the shepherd, and they're away from their fellow sheep. They've wandered away, and people are like that. They have no sense of direction, following after the things of this world. And by the way, people are lost and don't even know it. What do you mean I'm lost? I'm not lost. You know, you get in a conversation with folks and people are like sheep. They don't even know they're lost. Sheep can't find their way. A dog can find his way home, but not a sheep. Sheep don't even know they're lost. And I want to tell you, I was lost when Jesus found me. Found me when I went astray, as the old song says. So sheep wander, sheep are ignorant, and then sheep are defenseless. Sheep are defenseless. They don't know how to protect themselves. They can't defend themselves from wolves and bears and other enemies. And they're not equipped that way. Sheep can't fight. They can't even flee. They'll just sit there, you know. And they're under attack and don't even know it. And you know, dogs can bite, cats can scratch, rabbits can run, and skunks can, well, you know what a skunk can do. But not sheep. People have no, think about this, y'all. People have no defense against the evil one. They have no defense when it comes to temptation or the pitfalls of this world. Sheep are defenseless. In other words, what I'm trying to tell us this morning is sheep need a shepherd. And not just any shepherd. Amen? His name is, say it with me, Jesus. Jesus. There's something about that name. And so in this parable, Jesus begins to describe the lostness of a sheep, or of a sinner, really, is what we're talking about here. But the parable moves on. This parable is not about the lostness, really, of a sinner. It's about the love of a shepherd. Let's take a look at the latter part again of verse 4 and verse 5. Look at it with me. He will leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Now, over in Psalm 23, didn't my boy Isaac do a good job yesterday quoting that verse? And in John chapter 10 in the New Testament, God is portrayed as a shepherd, as a shepherd. And I want you to see the activity of the shepherd here in verses 4 and 5. We see, the first of all, the shepherd leaving, don't we? I mean, the shepherd has just counted his sheep, and he's got 100 sheep, and all of a sudden he figures out after counting, there's one missing. There's one gone. And so the shepherd leaves immediately to go find that one lost, wayward sheep. And you say, 1 out of 100 isn't too bad. I mean, you business folks, you know, y'all set up your budgets and your business for loss, right? You figure you're going to lose some one year, and so you figure that into your budget. But in this case, the shepherd is concerned even just for one sheep. You say, well, why is that? Well, in those days, the shepherd was responsible for every single one of those sheep. And if he found one missing, he had to pay for that lost sheep unless it had been killed by a predator. And so we see the shepherd leaving and going after, trying to find this one lost sheep. And so every animal was dear to the shepherd. Now, y'all know where I'm going with this, right? Can I just tell you, God loves you? Now, I hate to tell y'all, let me just clue you into something. This parable is not about the value of the sinner. It's about the love of the shepherd. That's what this is all about. And God loves you. Oh, you are valuable in an eternal sense, because after all, what is it that Mark talks about in, I believe it's, Mark chapter 8, verse 36. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul. Your soul is precious to the Lord, but the reason Jesus left heaven is not because we were so valuable. It was because of his great love for us. Don't ever forget that. You can't put a price tag on your soul, but Jesus came so that your soul might be well. I love that old hymn, that it is well with your soul. And thank you, Dick, for that prayer. Tied right into this, didn't it, brother? It's amazing how God does that. And so we see the shepherd leaving, and then we also see the shepherd looking. Now, this shepherd went looking for that lost sheep. And I mean, he went up and down and all around. He went everywhere. He looked high and low. He looked among the rocks, along the creek bank, in the caves, under the trees. He was looking everywhere for this sheep. And you know what? Most churches are doing this morning and this week. They're spending more time and energy and money on the 99 than they are the one. And that's not scriptural. Jesus' parable here says that the shepherd would leave the 99 in order to go find that one lost sheep. The shepherd goes out looking for that lost sheep. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did for us? He left heaven and came to this sin-cursed world looking for lost sheep. And we ought to do the same. We should be looking for lost people and asking God each and every day to put lost people in our path. We've only got one lifetime to win folks to Christ. That'll be over when you get to heaven. What do you want to hear from people when you get to heaven? I believe those folks that you have won to the Lord and you've shared your faith with them, these folks will be in heaven and they'll walk up to you and just say, thank you for sharing the best news with me that I ever could have heard. What if no one had come looking for you? What if no one had come looking for you? Well, evidently, bless God, somebody did. And his name is Jesus. And he found you. Glory to God. I wonder how long, somebody may be here and you have not been found yet. How long has God been on your trail? You know, every now and then, your spirit just knows that God is hot on your trail and he's trying to woo you and pull you and draw you in. And by the way, you can't be saved unless that happens. You can't be saved any old time you want to. The Spirit has to be working and leading. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you've wandered and you're away from God. But the shepherd loves you and he wants you to come home. You know, that shepherd found that lost sheep, didn't he? Right there, that's what it says. He says when he found it, what did he do? He laid it on his shoulders rejoicing. Oh, this wonderful shepherd of ours. Mercy. All of a sudden, he hears the bleating of that little sheep. Do you see this in your mind? And he goes over into the brush or wherever he found that little sheep crying out, and he grabs that sheep and he puts that sheep on his shoulders. How many of y'all seen the picture of, I don't know what Jesus looks like, and no photographer does either. But I love that picture of Jesus with that little sheep over his shoulders. Isn't that great? Some of y'all have not seen that, I guess. When Jesus finds a person, he puts him on his shoulders and eventually takes him to glory. That's what he did with my sweet mama Friday before last. But you need to know this. You are not saved because you're holding on to him. You are saved because he's carrying you on his shoulders. And by the way, any shepherd that can carry the governments of the world on his shoulders can carry you. Oh my goodness, y'all, that was fantastic. I worked all week on that. Come on now. Any shepherd that can carry the governments of this entire world on his shoulders can carry you all the way home. Give God some praise. Now, here's what I want to get to. The laughter of salvation. You know what some of us really need? I love you enough to tell you the truth. Some of you just need to have a real good laugh. Well, salvation brings joy. Salvation brings laughter. Look at verse 6 and 7. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." He's talking to the religious crowd here. See? So we see the shepherd rejoicing. The lost sheep has been found. He's been brought home, back to the fold. And once the shepherd gets home with the sheep, he begins to celebrate. Celebrate. I want to tell you, there ought to be a sense of celebration every time we get together. It's not going to be that way in heaven. And we ought to be practicing up down here for what we're going to be doing for all of eternity. The shepherd gets home with the sheep and he begins to celebrate. He invites the whole village to come and join in. Why? Because that sheep had been rescued. From what? Danger. He could have died. He could have starved to death or been killed by the enemy. You know, folks, lost people need to be rescued from the dangers of sin and the dangers of this world. We're just like lost sheep. The sheep had been not only, this is so good, not only been rescued, they've been restored. You see, when Adam, the first man, fell, he lost the glory that he'd been clothed in. He forfeited the righteousness that was his in God when he sinned. And everyone born since Adam has been short of the glory of God. But when Jesus saved us, that glory was restored. Look at somebody and shout, "Glory to God." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of y'all need to get saved again, and I don't really believe you can do that, but hallelujah. We've been restored. The whole village knew that the shepherd had come home with that lost sheep. And he'd been out in the wilderness and found that sheep and brought that sheep back into the sheepfold. And while the shepherd was gone, everybody in the village had been praying. Praying. Are you getting this? Praying. We share our burdens with one another. And one of the things we're doing on Wednesday nights is we are praying for lost family members by name. Oh, not first, middle, and last names, but you understand what I'm saying? We're praying for family members. We're praying for lost friends. We're praying for lost neighbors. And we're also praying for lost co-workers. Four groups of people. And we've got them all around us. We're praying. And we're asking today I'm going to ask your Sunday school class. It's all well and good to list sick people over here. That's all fine and dandy. People that are hurting, we're supposed to intercede for people in that way. But let me ask you a question. If somebody's sick and has COVID and they're lost, what should you pray for? Yes. That's our greatest need. We ought to be praying for lost people. The greatest tool in evangelism is prayer. We're praying for them and we're praying for boldness for ourselves. And have mercy. When that lost family member gets saved, the whole crowd begins to weep with tears of joy and shout with hallelujah. At my last church, we had built a prayer closet on the side of the sanctuary, and we had made a weekly schedule, and people came by the prayer room every hour during the week. And we had this huge file of intercessory prayer needs for these people. And then we had another file for lost people. And we were praying for all those lost people around the clock. Had a fantastic prayer ministry. And every now and then, someone would hit the aisle. And pray to receive Christ there at the altar. Or maybe they're in the seat. Or maybe they'd pray to receive Christ through the week and they'd come forward. And ding, it would come into my mind, his name's in that prayer file back there. And I'd point to one of my deacons and they'd go back to the prayer closet and yank that card out and bring it to me. And I'm standing there with this brand new saint of God who just received Christ, and I picked up the card and I showed him, you've been prayed for hundreds of times over the last 3 years or however long we've been praying for him. And the church would just explode. That's the way it is in heaven when one sinner comes home. God loves lost people. Second Mile Church, we should too. I love that old hymn. I can't get away from the hymns. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. At Calvary. Would you pray with me? Would you really pray with me? Father, would you please, please, please give us a burden for lost folks. Some of us, including me, have been saved for so long we've forgotten what it's like. Oh God, would our hearts begin to beat for what your great big heart beats for? That sinners might come to faith in Jesus Christ. That God, you would use us to bring people into the kingdom. Please, God, make us a soul-winning church. Give us boldness. Give us a burden. And give us a bountiful harvest. Oh God, don't ever let us go another 8, 9, 10 months without seeing anybody saved and baptized. Forgive us, God. Cleanse our hearts. Make us brand new today. Give us vision. Give us those things that we need. Father, if there is 1 or 2 or 10 in this room, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you do not know where you stand with Jesus today, today is the day. Today is the day. The Bible says if you'll recognize your sin and admit it before God, that your sins are separated you from Him, but that you believe that Jesus is Lord, that He died to save you from your sin, and you believe in your heart of hearts that God raised Him from the dead and that He's alive today, if you'd be willing right there where you sit to pray in your own words, and place all of your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. And ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the church will rejoice with you today. Oh, Father, bless this time right now, this time of response. Make it real to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.